welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
With me today is abundance teacher and money coach, Jody Lynn Craven.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And I was just noticing that our live feed to LinkedIn, for some reason, isn't working today. I guess StreamYard is having a little trouble with that connection, but it's going to other social media places. So hopefully, if you're trying to tune into LinkedIn, you're figuring out, well, let's go to one of the other ones because you're not going to see it on LinkedIn today. But anyway, Jody Lynn, first of all, hi. Have things warmed up at all in Alberta? That's my first question today.
No.
No.
Still
okay.
Cold.
Still cold.
Still cold. Yeah.
So you're all
hibernation mode.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. That's all right. Yeah. Well, you know, we're in March. We're getting closer and closer to when it starts to warm up. So it's not all that far off.
Yeah. I'm praying. Warmer weather.
That's what you do when you live in the north, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're joined today by Kathleen Israel, who has, so many people who come onto the show have interesting stories to tell, and hers is just as interesting as many others have been. But among other things, she is a Camino fan. She has twice walked the Camino, and that's a big part of her story. We have listener Deborah Wilson, who wrote also her own book about walking the Camino. And I have to tell you, Jody Lynn, I didn't even know what the Camino was 3 years ago. I had never heard of it before. And then from doing the show, all of a sudden, all these people are reaching out, talking to me about these Camino walks. I'm thinking, whoa, what have I been missing all these years? I mean, were you familiar with the Camino? Do you know that whole thing?
I think I know what it is.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. But again, I've only been introduced to this concept 2020, 2019.
Okay.
If it's the same thing that I'm thinking, my assistant went to do a walk and she was gone for like a month or 45 days or something.
Yeah.
And I cried the whole time she was gone.
And that's typical too. That is very typical. This is a pilgrimage in a sense.
Yes.
That people take when they're doing this walk. So yeah. So anyway, our guest has done it twice. Let's learn some more about what she did. So Kathleen, thank you for joining us on the program today. And how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. I'm in San Diego, so I'm like freezing my butt off at 62 degrees. Whereas I'm sure it's like you would love to have 62 degrees. But I've got my sweater on and really cold.
You'd be a popsicle here.
Yeah, not fun. I did a class in first aid and they were talking about frostbite, and I'm like, I'm never going anywhere that I could possibly get frostbite.
Not exactly on the bucket list. Okay, we'll mark that one down. But tell us your story, Kathleen, because it's a compelling story about how you ended up walking the Camino in the first place, and then tell us about the experience.
Yeah, so my husband got Parkinson's disease. And so I had to care for him. And like, I thought that we would be riding our bicycles across France in our old age. I thought we would be having a good old time. Then when he got Parkinson's disease, I'm like, oh, I guess not. And so I experienced quite a bit of grief right there.
Sure.
And while I was caring for him, my girlfriend went on the Camino and she shared about it on Facebook. And I thought, I just noticed she was doing something very special for herself. And so I thought, you know what? When Ron's done with his disease, I'm going to walk the Camino myself.
And I am sympathetic to what you went through with your husband, because my father also had Parkinson's and succumbed to his symptoms from that. It's a miserable thing to go through.
Yeah, it doesn't kill you for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even kill you directly. It does it indirectly. It isn't even honest about it. It's really, really quite horrible. So I'm sorry you had to go through it. I'm sorry he had to go through all that. But it did lead you to discovering the Camino, which I gather that you did after he passed. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It sounds like that.
Yeah. He wasn't done with his disease till he died.
Right.
He was busy with his disease all that time. Mm-hmm. And so was I. So, yeah, he died in August, and I was doing paperwork till January for the, you know, all the things you have to do.
Right.
Around January, I was just like, well, if I'm going to go, I better just figure out how to do this. So I bought some books and read them. I went to a seminar at my library about how to pack light for the Camino. And that mm-hmm. was really good because that lady really helped me. She told me to, had people, she said, okay, here's a shirt and here's the shirt you should take to the Camino. And so the regular shirt felt kind of light and the other one was like really light. And so that helped me know what I had to do. I had to find mm-hmm. lightweight clothing.
Right.
And I got my pack. I had to try like 4 packs before I found the right one. So mm-hmm. REI is really great because you can take them back.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. And so I got my pack and I packed everything up. I got my hair cut really short so I could just take a little tiny comb. So, you know, because it's like a science, mm-hmm. you know, making your pack light. And so, yeah, that was really nice. So I actually got my airfare and I flew to Paris and I spent a week in Paris as a tourist.
Nice.
And that's where I got my haircut. So I had my fancy French haircut from Paris that I took with me on the Camino.
Well, also, I mean, I don't know if you've ever gotten this feedback before, but when I first saw your photo with the short haircut, my immediate impression was, wow, she looks something like the actress Judi Dench. Have you gotten that before?
Oh, yeah, I have actually.
You have? Okay.
But I don't believe it anyway. I think she's wonderful.
Oh, she's a terrific actress. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I, you know, you have to buy your poles over there because you can't take them on the airplane. And because I was going the cheap way, so I couldn't check my bag. So I had to take them on the airplane. My pack, I just had my backpack. That's all I had was my backpack.
Wow. Yeah, that's traveling light.
Yeah. And, yeah, I got me a really child sleeping bag. I could fit in this. I like measured myself. Okay, I'll fit in this child sleeping bag so I could have a lightweight sleeping bag. And it was amazing. I flew from Paris to Biarritz, and then I took a train. Well, I took a cab to Bayonne, and then I took a train to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and that's where I started the Camino.
Okay. And then for most people, the big part of the experience is the actual walk itself.
Right.
And the constant theme that I've heard over and over again about Camino walkers is that they find themselves to be changed either partway or toward the end of their Camino walk. Was that true for you too?
Yes. Actually, I was... you know, I had just lost my husband and I had just taken care of him for like 17 years. And so I was, I thought I was in really good health, but I was in poor health. And so I got sick a couple of times along the Camino, but just meeting people, when I got there, I was like, well, I had heard about people developing camaraderie on the Camino. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went out to breakfast and I was like looking around and seeing who had boots on, you know, at the restaurant. And I was like, well, gee, I don't know how to do camaraderie. I don't know how to do this. And so the first place that I walked to was Val Carlos. Yeah, Val Carlos. And I walked in and the people, what you do is you just say, why did you walk on the Camino? And they tell you, and then you tell them, and then you're buddies, mm-hmm. you know? So that's how you mm-hmm. do it. You just say, why are you walking?
And, sure.
But Yeah, you just have to meet every situation and just deal with it where you are, what's happening. The first day, they didn't let us walk over the Pyrenees because it was snowing up there. And so they said, it's against the law to walk across the Pyrenees. And so you got to walk out here and then turn right and then go that way. And so I started walking and I kept thinking, gee, I wonder where that turnoff is.
Uh-oh.
And I walked and walked and walked. And I got to the sign that said Orison. And I'm like, oh, oops, you're not supposed to go. So I actually added 8K onto my first day of walking.
Wow.
I was walking 4K up this hill and then I had to go back to town. And then I found the turnoff.
Well, at least the second 4K was downhill. That helps a bit.
Yeah, right. You have to walk around, but when you walk around, you're really walking up and down, up and down, up and down. And so it was amazing. And I was up for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave myself 3 months to walk the Camino. I just decided I'm not coming home till I'm done.
Wow.
And I had heard
that's a long walk.
Yeah, but it only took me 66 days, actually.
Only.
Yeah, but you know, you have to get your ride home when you buy your ride over. So I thought, well, I'll just stay there until I'm done. So I went over to Scotland afterwards and took some art classes. So,
oh, my. That's nice.
Yeah, that was really nice. So just walking along and meeting people, the first at Valcarlos, the group that was there that night, we all couldn't walk over the Pyrenees. We all were in the same boat. And they made a WhatsApp. And so we got to communicate with each other along the road. And that was lovely because I took a long time because I'm an old lady and I got a bum foot. So they were like, when I would get somewhere, they would say, oh, be sure and do this, this, and this, you know? It was lovely to have them. And we all say Merry Christmas to each other on our WhatsApp every year and Happy Easter and stuff.
Aww.
And to tell each other what we're doing. So
yeah, human connections are huge. And when you make new ones like that, on a journey like the Walk of the Camino, that's going to stick with you for a long time.
Yeah. And when you use a WhatsApp, you can, I have people from Germany and, you know, well, one guy I met, he lives in LA, which is about 100 miles away from me. But so there's a lot. It's great to have those connections around the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They make a big difference. So Jody Lynn, does this match up with what you had heard about the Camino?
A little bit. I didn't ask her a ton of questions about like where she walked or anything like that. Now that I'm thinking back to it, it's so interesting because they got delayed because of COVID, and then she went the next year. Mm-hmm. So I have to go back and ask her all of these things. What was her wisdom from the Camino?
Right. And that, you know, the wisdom on the Camino, the reason why I wrote the book is because while Ron was sick, I I did emotional healing online with a bunch of enlightened thought leaders. And it was sick so long that I studied a long time. And afterwards, I felt like I had some healing words to share. Mm-hmm. That worked for me. And so that's why I wrote the book. And then like when I got home from the Camino, I'm like, okay, now you write the book. And I got cold feet because I didn't really know how to be teachy. And so I remembered I had told all those things to people on the Camino. So I wrote my book about walking the Camino and telling people those things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a self-help if you can find it. I mean, I've had people that said, I really couldn't find your healing words in there. And so I guess it all depends on what you're looking for, what you find in my book.
What you're ready to hear.
Yes.
Yeah, what you're ready to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had some adventures. They were so amazing. I couldn't believe it. I would get myself in these situations and I'm like, I just can't believe that just happened here. and like I was walking along out in, you know, it was kind of an arid area and I could see quite far. And I saw this castle out off in the distance. It was a ruins. I mean, some of the walls were down and there were beautiful spires and there was arches and stuff. So I walked up to it. Actually, the Camino went right through it. And I walked under an arch and I heard Irish fairy music.
Oh my.
And I know, I'm like, ooh, I love Irish fairy music. And then I walked in and over on the right, there was this guy, this Filipino guy in a kilt with a white t-shirt on. And he was making egg salad sandwiches and putting them in little bags. And he had a pot of coffee right behind him brewing. And so I thought, wow, this is really different. And so I, of course I asked him where the restroom was, cause that was always my problem. I mean, where are you going to go out in the woods? Right.
You have to plan that. Yeah. From what I understand, you have to plan well in advance.
Yeah. So anyway, so he showed me the trailer over there and when I came back, I got a cup of coffee from him, but it was just such a lovely experience, just an off the wall amazing thing.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
One of our longtime listeners, Deborah Wilson, wrote a book about her experiences on the Camino. Mm. Hers is called Finding Love on the Camino, which is a rather ironic title because it turns out that the twist in the book was that she took this walk with her husband and they were former guides. In other words, they had been Camino guides for a number of years, and this is their time to just do the walk for themselves. Uh-huh. So they're doing the walk, and then halfway through the walk, he left her. I mean, like permanently, like ending the relationship.
What?
Yeah.
There's something to write a book about.
That's exactly what she did. She wrote a book about it. But she also wrote the book in part because, despite the fact that that was a very traumatic event, it also helped her to refocus her attention on what was important to her in her life. And so she came away from that walk when, by the time she had finished her walk, she really was a new woman and she had a new path and a new direction and so forth. So even though she went through a traumatic event in the middle of it, the walk itself helped her get through that traumatic event.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Cause you're just walking along. I mean, all day long you're walking and, you know, you hear the birds, you know, beautiful scenery, meeting people and questioning yourself and as you learn new things from other people. So I can see that. That's amazing.
Can you point to any particular thing that any idea, something that you thought about, something that came up in conversation perhaps, that became your biggest takeaway? That when you walked away, when you finally finished your walk and you reflected back on it, you said, wow, that was the big thing. That was the one thing that really stood out.
I think the things that really meant a lot to me was when I could share my wisdom with people.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it was, I mean, there were so many of them, but I remember I met this guy, I was at a monastery and they provided the food. So it was like cafeteria style. And I was walking there with my tray. I'm like, where should I sit down? And I'm pretty sure my guardian angel pushed me over that way. So I sat by this guy and, you know, I asked him why he came on the Camino and he told me that he was in the Air Force. I was British. He was in the Air Force or something. And he had a week and he thought he would spend it on the Camino.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked me why I was walking. And I said, well, my husband of 48 years got Parkinson's and I took care of him while he was ill. And then he died, and now I can go on the Camino. Mm-hmm. And he was, I told him, you know, when we got married, I was 20 years old. And I remember it really hit me that my life was not going to be my life anymore. It was going to be my mm-hmm. life with Ron. And so I just always knew we would be together. and so he was like gobstopped. He said, wow, that's amazing. And then the lady next to him hit him with her elbow and said, tell her the rest. And so, yeah. And so he told me that he had met this woman and married her, and they had a child, and then he left her because he thought maybe he got married too early, too young, got married too young. And, you know, it was just too much for him. And then when I told him I got married when I was 20, I'm like, I think he was just like, oh, you know.
Perspective. And,
yeah. And so I told him about the Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian mm-hmm. healing technique for the family.
Sure.
And I told him it. And then I wrote it down for him. And the lady next to him took a picture of it so she could have it too. And so, you know, the next morning I saw him and I wanted to tell him a little bit more about the Ho'oponopono. And he said to me, no, stop. You've already changed my life. I've had enough. Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he made a different decision. You know? So that meant a lot to me that I was able to give that to him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think our guardian angels were kind of arranging it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, plus, if you're going to give a gift, Ho'oponopono is a good one to give because, I mean, it first of all, covers so many different situations so eloquently, and it's healing. I mean, that's what the whole point of it is. It's a healing modality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was one of my wisdoms that I shared in my book. Mm-hmm. And I think I shared it twice with two different people in my book. So that was very nice. And I remember the people. I remember the people that were mean to me. Mm. And I remember the people that were interested in what I was saying. It was so funny. I heard that you're going to meet crabby people on the Camino, and that's just to help you grow. And So I met a couple of crabby people. And it helped me know myself because it was them, not me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that I was unflustered by that. It didn't bother me, you know, and I just looked at him like, oh, okay. You know, But anyway, it was amazing.
Well, I'm sure Jody Lynn can appreciate your experience because she's a life coach. So she deals with people as they're going through situations like that. I mean, that's familiar, right, Jody Lynn? That's you know, fairly typical.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's usually about them and not you.
Yeah. I went to this this other monastery. I always thought I'd like to stay in monasteries, but after a while I was like, maybe not. But I was in this monastery and the guy checked us in, right? And took us up to our, you know, the bunk room, and he told us everything we needed to know, but he didn't say what time we had to get out in the morning. And so I hadn't slept in 5 nights because of the snoring people. And so I was just like so dead. And this lady told me, oh, why don't you just stay, just sleep in and then leave later. So he didn't tell us when we had to leave. I know. So the next morning I was in there making my eggs, and the guy came in and he started yelling. And everybody else left, and he was yelling in Spanish. So I was just like, I figured what he was yelling about, but I just decided that it wasn't, you know, I was making my eggs, you know. Sure. And then after I was done with breakfast, I made my lunch, And he came in again and his eyes were like bugging out and he was like, rah, 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 rah. And so the third time he came in, I was really ready to go. And he found his English words and he said, "You know, you're just ruining my life. I need to clean this kitchen and here you are in here. I can't clean the kitchen. I need to get home to my family." And I said, "Well, I'll pay you. I'm sorry." And he said, "My time's not worth money, you know." And he was just like yelling at me. And I was just like, "Okay, you know." And I grabbed my stuff and I got ready. And then as I was leaving, I wanted to go in the restroom. And he was standing there in front of the restroom with a mop going this way and his broom going this way.
Wow.
And he, standing in front of it. And he pointed to the door and said, "No, go." And so I grabbed my pack and put it on and I'm like trying to figure, I'm trying to get my head around leaving without going to the bathroom first, you know.
Mm.
And I mean, I'm an old lady, right?
And they're not exactly all around on every corner. You have to plan these things out. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I went out the door and I walked down the stairs very carefully because I'm really careful not to fall. And the lady in the garden said, "Just leave." And I said, "Well, I don't even know which door goes out. I don't know, you know." And so she led me through the room where we came in and I saw a restroom. So I thought, "Oh, okay." Uh-huh. So I used the restroom. And when I came out, the guy who had been yelling at me was standing there and he had his hand out in front of him like this. He had my medals because I had some medals pinned onto my collar. And I guess when I threw my pack on, my medals flew off. And so he's standing there very sheepishly with my medals and handed them to me. And I looked at him and I'm like, "Okay, well, where's St. Jerome?" St. Jerome was missing. And he goes, "St. Jerome." And then he went out and he started looking through the grass. And I'm like, "Geez, did he find it in the grass? How did he know it was?" I mean, you know, it was just really weird.
Mm.
And anyway, so I just told him, "Okay, well, St. Jerome's for someone else." And I left. But it was like, that was an adventure.
Mm-hmm. And there was a remarkable change in his demeanor. I mean, something occurred that made him decide to behave differently, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess maybe he thought, "Oh my God, I yelled at a holy woman or something, you know, because I had medals on." I don't know. But it was just like one of those things you'll never forget, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things, when they occur, they're things that may or may not have meaning to somebody else, but they always have meaning to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if that's because because they happen to us, or is it more than that? I think it's more than that. I mean, Jody Lynn, I'd be interested in your take on this, but I think that when we experience events like that one, where people change their behavior in the midst of our interactions with them, it affects us. We feel it. And that feeling translates into any number of possible responses. But in your case, the response was, "Well, okay." If that's what it is, that's what it is. You could have had all kinds of responses to that one, right?
You could have gotten angry.
You could have started fighting him. There are all kinds of things you could have done. Instead, you said, "Oh, well, okay."
I just really felt my you know, my tierra firma was not shaken by any of that stuff. It was nice to know, you know, because I get upset sometimes, you know. That didn't upset me. That made me, I guess that's a change for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think energetically it hits us different, or I guess bigger in most of those cases, Walt, like you were saying, because we're anticipating something completely different. And then, you know, we feel a complete shift in energy and it's like, okay. It's not what I expected. It's kind of like when somebody says something and it comes out of their mouth and you're like, "Whoa,
Like, wait a minute. Did you just say that to me?
Yeah. Yeah. Can't especially, you just put on your nice guy mask and talk to me?
Well, that's kind of what occurred to me, because you refused to escalate with him. He was clearly escalating the energy up into a very negative spiral kind of an energy. And you refused to go along with him. And we've talked often here on the show about how one person's energy can affect another person. We often think about that in terms of how, you know, somebody is in a negative space, so they affect everybody else negatively. But it also works the other way around. And you refuse to buy into his energy. So in a sense, we could say that your energy won. yours was the stronger energy because he basically gave up his energetic path and shifted over to the one you were on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I entrained him.
Yes. Good way to say
it. Yeah, absolutely.
It shows how powerful our energies really are in ways that we often don't even expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really surprised that it didn't affect me. Yeah. Yeah.
What? Do you have any idea why it didn't?
Maybe because he wasn't in charge of me, maybe because I was felt righteous that he hadn't told us when we had to leave, you know, I felt like I wasn't wrong. You know, I wasn't doing anything wrong. He didn't tell us when we had to leave. Of course, everybody else is like, yeah, you got to be out of here at 8:30. You have to. And so the next day when I stayed at the next place, I was like really cautious about asking the lady, when do I have to leave?
Sure.
And she said, oh, anytime. And I'm like, no, really, when do I have to leave? She said, well, you should leave by 11. And I'm like, wow. So the next day I did sleep in, you know. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got ready to go. And as I was leaving, I felt really tired. So I went back up into my bunk and laid down and slept for an hour. Left at 11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just needed that extra rest.
Yeah. I need some sleep. Yeah, I think that's one reason why I got sick a couple of times, because I needed some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to push too hard, and that's
when you open up to stuff. Yeah, I before the Camino, before I decided to go, I had been walking with my friend down at the bay in San Diego, 5 miles 2 days a week. And that didn't even make me sweat. I mean, I can do 5 miles. It was so easy. And then I thought, well, I can walk 5 miles before lunch and 5 miles after lunch, and I can do this. I just knew I could do it. So
you mentioned something else about 10 minutes ago too, that I forgot about it, but it just came back to me. You said you did this with a bum foot. You can't just leave that one unexplained. You have to tell us, how do you do this long, long walk with a bad foot?
Well, I have pes cavus, and I was diagnosed, you know, went to the doctor, I have a lump on my foot, and it hurt. And So anyway, he told me, okay, you got to get these shoes that you can't move your foot. It makes your foot rigid. And when you walk, you're walking rigid. And so I wore that for a while and it felt good. And then after a while, that was hurting me. And so I stopped wearing that. And I just wore regular shoes with this orthotic in it. And I just put the orthotic in my hiking boots. I really am a walker. My husband and I, when we went on vacation, that's what we did. We walked everywhere on our vacations. Mm-hmm. And like at night, we would go out and walk in the evening in our neighborhood. And so I'm a walker. And so, I mean, I walk the Grand Canyon, I walk Mount Fuji. And well, I didn't get to the top on Mount Fuji because they thought I couldn't do it. So they told me to sit down. And my husband went to the top anyway. I'm a walker, and I was walking with my friend, and actually during the time when I found out about the pes cavus, I was walking with my friend, and she's a nurse, and she was always like, okay, so walk on the grass, don't walk on this pavement, you know, to make it softer for my foot. And
sure.
Anyway, so actually I walked the Camino and I was, you know, I was fine for quite a while. And then every once in a while, my foot would hurt and I just wanted to keep walking. And so like when my foot hurt, I would walk on the outside of my foot. And then when that would hurt, I would walk on the inside of my foot.
Oh,
and then, okay. You know, and also I did Tai Chi walking, which really helped my foot too. So you, in Tai Chi walking, you like roll your foot and then you bring it all the way off in the back and then you roll your foot and all the way up on the back. So that was really helpful too, and it didn't hurt all the time. I didn't do the Tai Chi walking all the time, but when it did hurt, that's what I did. And so, wow. And it was really interesting. I went to this guy, I don't know, doctor guy after the Camino, and he looked at my foot and I wanted him to cure my foot, but he didn't really do that. and he told me, wow, that's so weird. Every time I see somebody with pes cavus, they have a really rigid foot and you don't. And I'm like, yeah, I just walked 500 miles without my rigid shoes on. I think, you know, if I had worn those shoes that doctor gave me, I would have, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So,
yeah. So, how many miles do you think you walked in total?
Well, it's 489 miles, 489 miles. Yeah. And I actually got sick a few times. So that made me not, you know, that's one of the reasons why it was 66 days. Also, I took Holy Week off. I'm Catholic and so I stayed in a town and I became one of the church ladies on Holy Week, which was very cool. Boy, those Spanish, they know how to do Lent and Holy Week. My gosh. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they're out there they have these cone heads on that are purple and they have a black thing over their face and purple satin garments. And then they got a drum and they're going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we walked through the whole town with them doing that. And I tried to get into every procession I could find. And so that was amazing for me to see that. So it was like the week before Holy Week and I was in this town. And they were having a big shindig up at the church and I went up there. And so we walked through the town and the guys with the drums and then we came back to the church and I was taking a video. I just like couldn't believe it, you know. And this guy came up to me and he pointed to down the street. And I thought, okay, well, I'll take the video down the street. And the drummers stopped. They came together and they stopped and they had these two giant life-size statues, one of Jesus carrying the cross and one of Our Lady of Sorrows over on the other side with black clothing on. And when they saw each other, the drums stopped and then they did a little bit more drumming and then they stopped again. And it was just like Mary seeing her son, you know, with the cross and everything. It was just like breathtaking. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, it was amazing.
That's very consistent. I mean, that was actually off the Camino path, but it's very consistent with the Camino experiences I've heard it, because people encounter all kinds of experiences that resonate with them in a particular way that is very meaningful for them. And they're all different experiences. I mean, you just described one that I have not heard before from a Camino walker.
Right.
But nevertheless, you encountered it's almost like the Camino found the experience for you needed to find at that particular time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing.
It's interesting how that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that really how life is? We just don't stop to see it. But when you're on a path, like walking like the Camino, you have no choice but to see it because that's all you're doing.
What's in front of you, right?
Yeah, right. But imagine what we would see if we approached our life like the Camino walk.
Right.
We're here to experience whatever comes our way.
Because the Camino is a now experience. I mean, you can. I mean, I'm certain that you can walk the Camino and you can keep your mind in the past dealing with, you know, all the stuff that happened in the past. But by the same token, day by day, hour by hour, you're dealing with being in an environment you don't know. That's right. Got to keep you focused.
Right.
You have to stay focused. Otherwise, you can get yourself in trouble. So it really keeps you right in the now just by the fact that you're walking this thing you don't know.
Mm-hmm. And the people along the Camino, I got the feeling that it was a blessing for them to help a pilgrim, mm-hmm. you know, because so many times they were just right there for me. I was in Burgos and I had my laundry and I needed to wash my clothes. And I was like walking around the town looking for a laundromat. And I asked a couple of people, nobody knew. And then these ladies came up to me and they were speaking to me in Spanish. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought they wanted me to help them. But actually they wanted to help me. They wanted to know why I was walking around town looking for something and I couldn't find it. I guess they noticed me as walking. I don't remember if she said, what do you need or what? But I said, limpia mi ropa. And, you know, that's cleaning my clothes. I don't know. and they, these two ladies, they like looked at each other and said, ropa. And one was an older woman and one was a younger woman. And so the younger woman left the older woman standing there, took me over two streets and went into this laundromat to make sure it was open for me. And she, you know, that was the laundromat. It was two streets over. I would have never found it.
That's fabulous.
And then she went back to her mom or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it was like very sweet, very sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's always reassuring to encounter that kind of kindness, yeah. No matter what kind of journey we're on, but especially on a journey like that one.
And people are saying Buen Camino all the time, mm-hmm. people on the Camino and people not on the Camino. They mm-hmm. just say Buen Camino. And when I was in Portugal, it was Bom Camino. Bom
Camino. That's wow. really great. And you did this twice. I mean, yeah. for many people, one walk on the Camino is enough, but apparently yeah. it was not enough for you.
Well, I wanted to walk the Portuguese way. I walked from Saint-Jean in France across Spain, and then I wanted to start in Portugal and walk up. So I started in Lisbon, which is a lot of people start in Porto, but I don't know, you go so far across the ocean to go to Europe. I don't want to just spend 2 weeks, you know? So I started in Lisbon so I could, it just seems like, it's more of an experience if you spend a month doing it. Actually, that was only 45 days that I was on the Camino in Portugal.
But nevertheless, the fact that you went back at all
yeah.
is a pretty big deal. I mean,
like I say, I'm a walker.
Walker. Yeah. But you're also an adventurer. I mean,
yeah.
you put off by that first. That first adventure was really meaningful to you to the point where you wanted to repeat it. That's right. That's a pretty big deal right there.
And I wanted to go this spring too, but I can't go this spring. Maybe I'll go next year. I want to walk the Camino del Norte across the northern coast of Spain. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just like a self-proclaimed ocean gazer. And I think I would just really love that.
Yeah.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
Do you feel inspired to walk the Camino, Jody Lynn? I'm curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be able to say in, you know, in my lifetime that I walked the Grand Canyon or, you know, walked this mountain or walked the Camino or, you know, whatever with my husband. I think that's incredibly inspiring. We're walkers too. When we're on vacation, we like to adventure out and see things and we go on different hikes and That's been mostly like in Hawaii or in like BC or wherever, some small places that we've been, but we like doing that too. And I'm reminded of a time we went to Hawaii and we were like in flip flops. And like the trail is like easy or something like that or whatever. Yeah. We got like, I don't know, not very far in, and we're like, we can't do this in flip flops. We went back to the car and got our shoes.
I walked up Diamond Head one time and I had my hiking boots and there were people walking up like little old ladies with their flip flops on.
So we get our shoes and we go back and like, you know, like 20 minutes in, and like it was like, this is easy or moderate or something. Like it wasn't a hard trail by any means. And we get like 20 minutes in and there's like a rope that we had to use to climb up a hill that was very muddy. And we're like, how is this easy? Okay. So we do that and we're like halfway through this thing and it's been, I don't know, an hour and a half or something like that. And we're ready to turn around. Like, we're like, I don't think we can go on. We're almost out of water. Like, we got to go back also. Like, it's not just get there and you're done, right? Like, we got to go back. We were about to turn around and we're looking down the path and it was, you had to like traverse all these rocks going down in like this zigzag pattern. Like, so you're kind of like climbing down and we're like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't think so. And these three old ladies came around the corner and like whooped it right up the rock and right past us. All right, that's our sign. We got to keep going. Like, if they can do it, like we can do it. Let's just keep going. And I'm glad that we did. It was where you ended. There was this giant platform that was of natural rock. Like you didn't dare get too close to the edge, but looking out, you could see several waterfalls all around you. And then you went around this kind of corner and it was like the death ledge. There's a lot of crosses. It's like, go beyond this boundary at your own risk. And there was like a big waterfall that came into a natural pool and we were right there. And then it went straight down. And that was the other side of the waterfall. We were right there. It was the most extraordinary thing I'd ever seen up to that point. So it was worth it. But when they say, you know, wear proper footwear and bring more water than you think you'll need, we definitely have heeded that advice going forward.
Yes, I can understand that. Yeah. And you demonstrated through personal experience that one person's easy is another person's not so much.
Yeah.
Yes. It takes faith. I think it's faith. I mean, I remember walking up hills, mountains, and I would see, it looked like the end of the trail. I'm like, oh, good, I'm almost done. And then it would make a turn. Yeah. And then I walk up there. Oh, I'm almost there. And it would turn. And I was just like, it can't last forever. I just had to keep walking. You know, I know there's going to be an end to this, but it's, you know,
eventually we're going to be done.
Oh, man. It's like the joke about the little kid who's mucking out the barn. And a stranger comes by and notices the work that he's doing and noticing that there's a lot of mucking to be done there. And he says, wow, you're really working hard. He says, why are you working so hard on this? He says, well, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere.
Right. That was one reason why I was really strong to walk the Camino is I used to work at a horse ranch and I mucked out the stables and just walking around with this wheelbarrow full of horse pucky just made me really strong. I had a strong core walking the Camino.
I'm sure. Yeah. And you need that too.
I was afraid of horses and I saw this movie and I think Dylan, the singer, had a farm and he had some horses and he just loved his horses. And I saw that on TV and I thought, oh, I want to have a relationship with a horse, but I was afraid of horses. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll just volunteer at this horse ranch and then I'll get to know the horses. Maybe I won't be so afraid, but I am still afraid. So, but anyway, I used to sing to the horses just to calm them down, but they used to play with me. And, you know, like when the first time I was in this state, in this, you know, thing with the horse, and I was like cleaning out the water, and he came over and he blew bubbles in the water next to me with his nose. And I was just like, oh man, there's a horse right next to me. And the lady who was in charge said, he's playing with you. He knows you're afraid. So, anyway.
Actually, one of the things I'm enjoying about the conversation with you today is realizing that you're not afraid. You may be afraid, but you're not afraid to go past your fear. You know, you're not afraid to challenge your own fear. A lot of people would just walk away. They'd say, oh, I'm not going that direction. You say, well, yeah, I'm afraid, but the heck with it. I'm going to go anyway.
Yeah, I did. I wanted that relationship with a horse. You know, that's what I wanted. So.
But you could have let the fear stop you, and you didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah. Well, getting to know all about me.
So the book is called Wisdom on the Camino, and it's been out for a while now. And you said the next walk is going to be sometime in the next year or so. So does that mean there's going to be another book that comes out?
Yeah, I do have. I had written already the book about Portugal. But I'm going through it now. You know, you have to read it over and stuff. So I've got that process going right now. But I just sold my house, so I need to do that. It's like I'm a person who just has to focus on something, you know. And then, like, I focused on writing the book last year, and I didn't do anything else but write that book. And now I sold my house, and I'm like focused on. Well, of course, I'm focused on getting the next house, right?
Sure.
But I am doing scary things. I don't know. It is scary to sell your house. I wanted a view of the ocean. And so I sold my house. And so I'm hoping that I find a fixer-upper with a view of the ocean so I can afford it. So that's my plan.
Wow. Take no prisoners. Go forward.
Yeah. Stepping out on the step that's not there.
Apparently. Wow. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Couple things that we want to do before we part company. First of all, I'm going to kind of put myself out there and guess that you actually would like hearing from people who have had Camino experiences or perhaps have read your book and so you can continue to share this kind of thing. How do they find you?
Well, my website is wisdomonthecamino.com. And I'm Kathleen at wisdomonthecamino.com.
Okay.
And here's my book, Wisdom on the Camino.
Yeah.
Can you see it backwards or forwards?
It's
backwards.
No, we see it, we see it forward. Yeah.
Okay. Kathleen Donnelly Israel. When you get into the book, right in the beginning, right before the table of contents, it's the facing page from the table of contents. There's an offer to, you can double opt in and see my pictures. So that's my gift for my readers. Cause everybody told me, oh, you got to put these pictures in the book. And I'm like, yeah. And then it'll be $50. Nobody will buy it. So right across from the table of contents is the directions for opting in to see my pictures.
That's nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
All right. One thing that I make it a practice to do here on the show and have for some time now is to recognize that when people come on the show like you, they did it because they want to give back. I mean, you mentioned a couple of times how you like to help people and how you hope that your wisdom has helped other people. And Absolutely. Very often we often don't get the feedback on that. That's what I realized a few years ago, that we often don't realize that we do have impact on other people. So I like to make it a practice to say on behalf of those people you've never met, never seen, who've been reading your book or hearing about you on a podcast, who you have been helping about and you didn't even know about it, on their behalf, thank you for what you're doing, because you're making a difference in their world.
Thank you. I hope so. That's the plan.
Yeah, that is the plan. Jody, what's the one takeaway today? What's the one thing that stands out above everything else about what Kathleen was telling us today?
You know, I can't just pick one. So I'm
You can pick two or three if you like. I mean, it's
I'm
going to
pick three. I think Kathleen gave us a beautiful reminder to, I think the whole experience was about refocusing on what's really important. And the first step we take is doing that through presence and not being afraid to face whatever fear is in front of us and just really go for the things that we want.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those are good takeaways. Yeah. Those are the ones that'll stick with you. So thank you very much, Kathleen, for telling your story, and both in book form and in appearing on the podcast form. We appreciate that very much. We wish you all the best with your next journey.
Thank you. I know you're going to have a great day today.
Well, we just thank did you. Because we listened to this. So thank you very much. Thank you, Jody Lynn. And thank you to our podcast listeners everywhere. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.